This is highlight 22 in the book of Hebrews, drawn from Hebrews chapter 9, verses 11 to 14, the blood of Jesus. We read, "When Christ came as high priest of the good things that are now already here, he went through the greater and more perfect tabernacle that is not made with human hands, that is to say, is not a part of this creation. He did not enter by means of the blood of goats and calves, but he entered the most holy place once for all by his own blood, thus obtaining eternal redemption. The blood of goats and bulls and the ashes of a heifer sprinkled on those who are ceremonially unclean sanctify them so that they are outwardly clean. How much more, then, will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself unblemished to God, cleanse our consciences from acts that lead to death, so that we may serve the living God?" Perhaps a summary of the Old Testament practices that the writer is relying on for so much of his argument is necessary first. This has two aspects found in the books of Exodus, Leviticus, and Deuteronomy. Negatively, full of no and not, are all sorts of instructions about how they were to live and what they were to eat. Our writer is not very interested in these. They comprised the law, with a capital L. Positively, there were detailed instructions about the tabernacle, a sort of big tent construction, used during their wilderness journey, and the practical details of how sacrifices were made there and what they accomplished. They thought of the tabernacle as the place where God was much more than anywhere else. Later, the same basic idea was transferred to the temple that was to be built in Jerusalem. These sacrifices constituted a recognition that no one is perfect, and there would be many involuntary infringements of the law. These could be remedied through the complex sacrificial system. Not that it was the sacrifices that effected the remedy. They were symbolic of the attitude of the one sacrificing and of the grace of God that accepted his or her contrition. Even with the help of the Holy Spirit, we too are not perfect. We sin, and we need Jesus to remove defilement from us. His death is effective. Is defective and does remove the consequences of our sin from us. This is the great concern of our writer, who explains the effects of the death of Jesus in terms of the Old Testament examples. Of course, this is not really about the blood of Jesus. It is what is called a metonymim, where a small part of something is used as a name for a whole. Another example is the way some people refer to their car as their wheels. The blood refers to the whole death of Jesus, given as a sacrifice for us. In a quite remarkable way, the writer uses the practices associated with the temple to explain what Jesus' death means for us. He says that the earthly temple was, by Moses' instructions, a copy of the true temple in heaven. So he is able to use the known facts about the earthly temple to indicate the deeper heavenly truths. The central purpose of the temple was as the place of sacrifice for sins and for worship. There were at least three implications of a sacrifice. First, it rendered clean those who were not because of their past sinfulness. The Old Testament system, particularly with the annual sacrifice in the innermost part of the temple, made by the high priest once a year, allowed for recovery from sin, that is, redemption. Verse 12 uses that picture to explain what Jesus did. He entered the most holy place once for all by his own blood, thus obtaining eternal redemption. Secondly, the Old Testament sacrifice was a symbol that the person making the sacrifice wanted to live in and for the Lord. This becomes what verse 14 says about serving the living God. And third, in the giving of the blood of the Old Testament sacrifice, an animal died in place of the one sacrificing. Now Jesus obtains for us an eternal redemption. He did not enter by means of the blood of goats and calves, but he entered the most holy place once for all by his own blood, thus obtaining eternal redemption. Of course, we must expect that we shall die one day in a physical sense. How then can our redemption be eternal? By the fact that although we shall die in an earthly sense, we shall live forever as members of the eternal kingdom. So we have past, present, and future aspects to the meaning of a sacrifice. The Old Testament sacrifices had to be made again and again, daily, monthly, and annually. Because Jesus was both human and divine, both man and God, his sacrifice was effective forever and did not have to be repeated. This, then, is the great central teaching of the book of Hebrews. Christ was sacrificed to take away our sins. Chapter 9 of verse 28. He sets us the greatest example of how we should live, serving the living God. 9:14. And he gives us a great hope for the future. He will bring salvation to those who are eagerly waiting for him, 9 and 28.